Today I tried to speak some from the subject of the strength in the Bible, the fact that man was without strength, Christ died for the ungodly, the strength of Satan, his influence in the earth, and the strength and the power of false teaching in the world. And then I tried to speak some on the strength that the Lord gives us, that in our weakness, He is our strength. Tonight, my mind is still with a thought related to this subject. I trust that you'll pray for me, that if God's will, that I may speak relative to it. In the third chapter of Revelations, we find the message now to the church. Of course, one of the seven churches of Asia, in which the angel of the Lord was given the message, or the message was sent of God to the angel of the seven churches, the messenger of the seven churches. And it says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how that thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garment, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now the expression that is in what I've read, strengthen the things which remain. There are many other expressions in the Bible as we think about strengthening. I glance back over some that I didn't get to today that I thought was worth our consideration. The one expression that is made concerning Reuben, who was the firstborn of Jacob. "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power." Here's such a commendation unto Reuben, the firstborn. And then he says, "Unstable is water. Thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch." Now, Reuben means sea. That is an expression that is made, the interpretation of the word Reuben. And we certainly need to think about Reuben as being the firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. But then when the Lord God reveals to us and gives us Reuben in our lives, gives us the revelation that we may see spiritual things, to understand the things that are freely given us of God. That to me is very wonderful, to be able to see. And this is my firstborn. This is the first thing. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is no strength and power. All the intellect and all the wisdom that a natural man may have in this world, he cannot comprehend spiritual things except it be given to him of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, and neither need can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so in the giving of life, bringing you into revelation of truth, there is might and power, beginning of my strength. And God makes this known in your life. He gives you a strength that you've never had before in your life. He gives you a wisdom, a faith, an understanding. He gives you a dignity and a power, beloved brethren, in which God gives you this strength in your life, in your spiritual nature. But then with that is still a reminder that we've got the human element to deal with in our lives. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. So with all that the Lord may give us, He may give us individually, or He gives to us as a church in the world. You're the firstborn in the sense that God has given you the church, the first fruits. He has given you the benefit of His glory in all of these things. Understand the truth. There's a dignity and there's a power. But while the church has the strength of the Lord in the revelation and the dignity and the power that God gives us as believers in Christ, yet, brethren, in our human nature, we're unstable like water. Many of us are still weak because we shall not excel because of the human element that is in our lives. Of course, now in the case of Reuben, there was a defilement. There was a special transgression in his life. And you know, while that may not be the sin of our lives, as it was with Reuben, yet there may be and is in most all of us special sins. Sins of weakness. Lay us out every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And we have the common sin of unbelief with all of us, but also we have the special sins in the lives of all of us. Things that are weaknesses to one man may not be to another, or one woman may not be to another. And yet, God requires of us that we may not look to our human nature and rely upon these things, but to overcome them by the power of His might. Then He goes on, just a few more thoughts. When we look at Reuben, he shall not excel. We look at his human weaknesses, unstable like water. Then Exodus, we find a song that was sung by the Israelites. Moses and the children of Israel sung this song: "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him." Here we can see that we're looking at the Lord as being our strength and our song, and that He has become my salvation. He is my deliverance. He is my God. I will prepare Him a habitation, my Father's God. I will exalt Him. Now, brother, we don't give God a habitation in far as building the church or creating anything, but yet in our own lives, there must be something about our own lives that there's a habitation of God with us. You know, we can allow in our own lives the habitation of satanic spirits and ungodly things and lustful natures and many things that takes away our strength. You know, this morning, I never thought about this. After I got through preaching, I talked about the great strength of Goliath, and then David's strength and the power that he had to overcome Goliath. But then I never thought about this. I sat down about Samson. All the strength that Samson had in his hair, you know, and how he could slay the Philistines. And there was no man could come up against Samson. But finally, Samson laid his head down in the lap of Delilah and got a haircut. And there she called for those to bring forth shears and sheared off his hair, in which is his strength. And I believe this, brethren, I don't care how much strength you or I may have, when we lay, as it were, our head down in the lap of this world and allow the world to take away our strength, we become asleep on the thing that God would have us to be awakened on. We lose our strength. And so did Samson lose his. And I can lose mine. And you can lose yours. And all, not only that, but the church of God can lay her head down in the lap of this world and go back and practice the things of the world. I had a young lady talking to me today. I thought she was a member of the Primitive Baptist Church, but she wasn't. She said, "No, I'm not a member. I'm a member." And she told me where. And I said, "Well, I thought your husband was a member." She says, "No, he's not a member either." I said, "Well, I thought both of you were members. They were visiting here and visited our congregation." But she began to tell me about some things that go on where she's a member. She said, "I tell you, it is ridiculous. It is almost unbelievable that people that are members of the church will allow and go on and do the things that they do in and under the guise and influence of religion." She says, "An abomination in the sight of God." Well, brethren, I'm going to tell you this. As Primitive Baptists and as what we consider ourselves to be the visible church of Jesus Christ in the world, the Lord requires of us, brethren, things that I'm sure He requires it of all men. But from the standpoint of our the excellency and the dignity and the power that's been given unto you as the church of the firstborn here in the world is more expected of you, brethren, as believers and in enlightened people whom God has given the strength to overcome this world and the things of this world. The Lord God Almighty expects you, brethren, to abide in the truth and to walk above these things. And there is a dignity that belongs to the church of God. And He is our strength in these things. On in the book of 2 Samuel in the 22nd chapter, He says in the 33rd verse, "God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places." You know, you talk about the hinds' feet or the little deer family. You can see them up on high places, and their feet, they can tread on places that you and I would slip and fall. Now, I'll tell you this. The child of God, depending upon the Lord as his strength, not relying upon himself, lean not upon thy own understanding, lean not upon your own wisdom, your own righteousness, your own ability, but lean upon the Lord God. Trust in Him, in His strength. He gives to you as an individual hind feet. In other words, you can try tread on these places and dance over them and not slip nor fall. And where many men fall and many women fall, brethren, you are not to fall, because God gives you the wisdom and the enlightenment in your life. Now, I do believe this, brethren, as we know the truth and God reveals the truth to us in our life, gives us the strength of truth and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and in the truth of others round and about us who know the truth, we are fortified. And if we're not fortified, we ought to be in any regard, because we have access to the great embodiment of truth in the world. And so, because God is our strength. And so, He goes on. Then I like this today. I mentioned this briefly. In the 84th division of the Psalms, in the 7th verse, it says, "They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." You know, they go from strength to strength. It says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are all ways of are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca maketh a well. The rain also filleth the pool." They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Now, here's the thought I get out of that. When God's children are walking in God's way, depending on the Lord, looking to Him, walking in the light and the wisdom He gives unto us, we're going to need strength for that. And then, you know, next time you're in service, you feel like, "Well, I don't know. I feel like maybe I've slipped a little. I don't feel like maybe I've met the mark." But you know, every time you do what's right, every time you turn aside from this world and walk in the ways of God and trust in the Lord and depend upon Him, brethren, you gain a little strength. Every trial you pass through, every time you recognize that you are weak, and God delivers you, and He gives you strength. You may feel like quitting a lot of times, but you're going from strength to strength, because every experience in your life strengthens you a little bit more. And if you're just becoming a member of the church, you say, well, I feel like the Lord has given me strength, understanding, and all of these things. But then again, you might come a meeting or two and say, well, I don't think I know anything now. It looks like that I don't even know where I'm qualified. I remember one time, all right after I joined the church, the old pastor came to me in where I was working, and he said, have you been down in the valley yet? I didn't know there was any valleys. No, I was on the mountaintop. I was so happy. I was just floating around. Oh, you talk about the strength the Lord had given me. He'd shown me the church. He'd brought me the great deliverance in His kingdom. I rejoiced in the wonderful things of the Lord. I didn't know there was any valleys. But it wasn't about a week from then, the whole bottom fell out. Just everything. And you know, it was about just right after that, he come walking back in the store where I was working. And I couldn't wait to get to him. I said, I want to tell you something. I said, you know, the last time you was in there, you asked me about that valley. I didn't know there's any valleys. But I said, I think I'm in the bottomless pit now. I said, the whole bottom. I said, I tell you the truth. I doubt seriously I would ever join the church. I doubt seriously now that I have hardly anything. I said, everything I look at, I just see myself in all weakness. I just see myself in such a weakened state. And I said, I really think you ought to maybe go back and just tell the brethren that I shouldn't be a member at all. And I just began to describe my feelings about it. And I said, I just feel a great sense of unworthiness. Well, now, this man was not given to shedding of tears, hardly at all. He was very reserved in that way. But that man began to stand there, and his chin quivered a little bit, and tears began to trickle out from under those glasses. And he reached up, and this was something he seldom ever did. He reached up and grabbed a hold of me and said, I've got more confidence in you right now than when I baptized you. Now, brother, I got some more strength then. You know, and then he told me about a time, right then he told me about when he went off to preach somewhere, and the Lord had been real good to him, and he'd been having good liberty, and he said they put him up to preach, and he had a text, and everything was just lined up before him. It just looked like that he could do easy to preach. He got up and he quoted that text, and it didn't even sound right, and then he re-quoted it, and he backed up and said every time he hit it, it like hit a wall. He hit a wall, and finally seemed he just couldn't preach, and just sat down in shame. He said, this is it. I'll never try again. He was just at the end of his rope, he thought. And before he left the ground, he had to ride the train home. And an old sister says, here's something I've been saving for you. And he stuck it in his pocket. He stuck it in his pocket, got on the train. After he got going on the train, he pulled it out, and it was a little book. And it was the experience of Elder Dalton, an able minister. And he took it out and said, well, I about as well look at it. Ain't got nothing else to do riding the train home, you know. Got to looking at it. And Elder Dalton told exactly the same experience he just went through. And he said it felt like he could almost shout. Because he knew Elder Dalton was an able minister of God. So from strength to strength. Brethren, we find this. We feel like we want to despair. We feel like we want to give up. And we feel like that there's no need to keep on coming or keep on trying. But you go from strength to strength. Just keep on. That's the thing about it. Just about when you think it's at the end of the road and there's no need to go any further, it'll open up, brother, at the end of the tunnel. You'll see the light. God will give you more strength in your ministry, in your life, in your membership, in your home. I know in my work sometimes, you know, things look so dismal. Brother Little, you know, we look at the economy and you look like you can't succeed in anything. Look like everything looks dismal and dark. And you say, well, I don't know if I can make it another week or not. And you feel like just folding everything up. But all of a sudden, maybe something will happen. Just a little something you didn't think about. Here, just enough will come in to make ends meet, you know. And things will work out. And so, going from strength to strength. Brethren, that's the way. That's been my life. That's been my journey in the service of God. But I do believe each step we make, each one that we make in serving God, keep on pressing on toward those things. You know, at the hospital this last week, While my daughter was there visiting her, I visited an old brother, a member at Shiloh Church, Brother Tyner. Most all of you know him, 87 years old, fixing to undergo an operation. I went in the room to talk with him a little, and he got to saying, "Well, I don't know how this is going to come out," but he said, "The Lord's been so good to me." He said, "Life is just so many pleasant things. I've had a lot of troubles and a lot of heartaches and a lot of disappointments," but he said, overall, everything has been wonderful. I wouldn't have it any other way. The Lord has been so good to me." And he said, "We've had such a pleasant life." He talked about how the Lord gave him a good wife, and they lived together for a number of many years, and then she died, and he thought it was the end of the way. He said, "My world came to an end." He said, I felt like there was no other way for me. But he said, in the midst of all of this, then the Lord blessed him with another good wife that loves God and loves the church and just give the whole life and dedication to the things of God, brother, from strength to strength. I believe if you're walking in the way of right and rectitude, and you love God and you love the things of God, and your heart and your mind is on these things, I do believe He'll add strength in your life. And experience of your life will come more strength day by day in your experience and in your life. And a lot of times we'll say, "Well, I want strength to die by." You don't need it yet. You just wait the time to die and you'll have it. You don't need that grace now. You don't need that strength. But I believe if you walk in the strength you've got now, you'll find the strength you'll need tomorrow. You don't need tomorrow's strength today. You just need today's strength for the day. And so as you make each step, it'll be strength to strength as you travel. But now the thought I want to get to tonight here, brethren, so many expressions that I thought of in many expressions here in the Scriptures. I want to read a couple more here, and then I want to go to the point just briefly. He says in the third chapter of Ephesians, in the 16th verse, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Here is the strength that God gives us in the inner man. This is a strength, brethren, that is so wonderful in our lives, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him that is to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be the glory in the Church of Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. I thought of that. And this one in conclusion, strengthen in Colossians in the first chapter, in the 11th verse, strengthening with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers, meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now that brings us to the thought that we are brought now, and now we are, by God's grace and by the strength that He has given us, bringing us to the kingdom of His dear Son, not only in our inner spirit, which brings us into the body of Christ in regeneration, but into the visible church of God, and as God's believers here in the kingdom. But now, brethren, when we come to the visible and the local church, you know, let me mention this, that we're talking about strength here tonight. And you know, in these first three chapters of Revelation, we find the message to the seven churches of Asia. And then in the fourth chapter, he says, "And after this I looked." And he says, a door was opened in the heaven. And then he began to tell about, he saw Him that sat upon the throne. Around about the throne, in sight was a rainbow like unto an emerald. And in the four and the 20 elders before the throne, and the four beasts, and all these beautiful things. I won't try to preach on that, but the point I want to make is this. After this I looked. Brother, I want to tell you this. When we begin to look at the old church sometime from the human standpoint, we begin to see, because every one of these churches, he found something wrong with them. I think one of them, maybe about the strongest rebuke, was the church at Philadelphia there, that he rather just said to them they had left their first love. But he didn't point out any major wrongs with them like he did some of the others. But brethren, even to depart from our first love and get cold in the service of God is a bad situation in our lives. But every one of these churches, you can find something wrong with them, and they had a rebuke written in here. And you know, but after this I looked, and a door was opened, and here was a revelation that he saw God on his throne. You know, if I didn't be able to see the Lord sometime on His throne, after I've been looking at all the human weaknesses I see in myself, and I see in the church sometimes, in the neglect of the brethren, when I find, as Paul, as John was writing here, and under the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, and he says, "Be watchful." But no, before that he says, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." Now, brother, that's quite a charge laid against that church. You got a name that you're living, but you're dead. And so, this could be the condition. Sometimes you can hear people talk about, well, that's a wonderful church. It's a large membership. I won't name the city nor the church, but one of the largest memberships of a church that I know about in the United States among primitive Baptists. A brother went there to preach out of another state, and when he got there, he said, "Brother Darden, I found a lot of cold bodies. I found just a lot of bodies. I found a lot of people that all in the world, they came to church as a social thing. They were just there on Sunday morning, and they got out of there just as quick as they could get out of there. There wasn't any real fellowship or anything. And if we had some kind of a special something to do, they'd sort of take part in that. But as far as spirituality..." But he said, "I began to try to point out to those people the reason you went to church was to hear the gospel of Christ. You came there on spiritual things, spiritual matters." So we can have a name that we're living and we're dead. Now we're dead as far as spiritual activity. And so he warns them, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, but that are ready to die." Now, this thought is in my mind. We need, brethren, even though we may have a name that we're living, we need to be watchful and strengthen that which remains. I believe in the church today there's something that remains that is worth strengthening. I believe there are believers among us that love the truth of God. They want to maintain the honor of God's Word. They want to hold to the truth of that faith that was once delivered unto the saints, brethren. And we need to strengthen that which remains. We need to encourage those who will continue steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Word of God. We need to see that this is strengthened in the day and age we're living in. Believers of the truth are becoming more and more precious in the land we live in. Because there are so many false doctrines covering the world today. Our young people have been taught in school everything contrary unto God. Evolution and many other false doctrines of men in the world. So I tell you, it is a time that we strengthen that which remains. We need to be encouraging the youth of our church and the youth of our land and in our families. We need to strengthen that which remains, because I believe this. We're standing, no doubt, near a great calamity within the nation itself. I believe that the great judgments of God rest. You know, if we're worrying about some time an economic, the economy falling or failing, that'd be terrible. But I tell you one thing, I'd rather see the economy fall than see our whole nation fall in the hands of a common enemy. And let me tell you something. When I see on television sometimes, or when Brez Chaff or some of those fellows over there talking about against America and the whole body of their political leaders applauding their hands against America, and I believe in the taking of the embassy that was taken over there, it shows us that America don't have the friends we once had in the world at large. And so we We are facing dangers, no doubt, that we are not fully aware of. A great storm cloud can be gathered on the horizon. And so I do believe we need to be strengthened that which remains. You say, well, how can I do that? I believe you can do it individually in your own life. Strengthen your own life. Do the thing that you know is right to be done in your own life. Stand for the principles that are right before God. And then the church right here at Cool Springs, brethren, individually, you are to stand for the principles of that is right. Strengthen that which remains. And we need to strengthen the principles, not the principles themselves, but strengthen our faith in them and confidence that we will stand upon them. I appreciated the fact recently the elders of this association and other visiting elders met with us here, and we sat right here in this church and discussed a doctrine that was trying to invade in the ranks among our people. And brethren, I want to tell you, I was made a happy man on that occasion when not one dissent from all the ministers of our area. We all sat together and agreed harmoniously on the basic doctrine that we were discussing. Now you tell, that makes us be, Lord, we was all divided. One said, well, I believe it this way, and I believe it that way. And the division among them, but our ministers stood together and saying that we believe the same doctrine we've always believed. We strengthen what remains. We stand on that great doctrine. We believe that God Almighty chose His people in Jesus Christ before the world began. And everyone the Father gave to the Son, just that money the Son died for, and just as many as Christ died for, upon the cross and shed His precious blood, just that many the Holy Spirit will effectually call, and just as many as the Spirit of God will effectually call will one day be with God in eternal glory without the loss of one. Brother, I strengthen you in this great doctrine. You remain on these principles, unmovable, ever abounding in the work of the Lord. Not only do I strengthen that which remains in the fact of the great doctrine, but I would like to strengthen you in the practice of the church, that we keep the church in order, that we keep this church functioning as a spiritual body. We are not here for entertainment. This is not a place. I listened to Channel 7, or some so-called religious channel. And brethren, I tell you, groups come on that thing playing, but anybody could do a boogie or rock and roll about it. I guarantee you, they could. All the world is just quit listening to what they're saying and just go to wiggling with the music, because it's there, my friend. And that's all in the world. And yet, why is all of this? Try to get people attracted by such sensual type music and call it in the name of God. Brethren, I tell you, we don't need such a rot in the house of God. Let us stand and strengthen that which remains. Brethren, let my dying plea be, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Stay with thy firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. Stay, my brother, with those great old hymns of the church that we stood for through the years. Strengthen that which remains. You say, well, you won't get the young folks. We will if they're spiritual. If they're looking for a party, go to the party. Don't come here for the party. This is no party. This is a place to worship and serve God. If you're looking for entertainment, a fleshly entertainment, go look for it somewhere else. You're not going to find it here. If you're looking for entertainment and pleasure of the flesh, there's no picnics or parties for you, my friend. It's not here. We strengthen that which remains. That we stand where the apostles stood. We stand where Jesus stood. We stand where the faithful brethren of the past stood. We stand, brethren, in the simplicity of the house of God, preaching and praying and singing and worshiping our God in spirit and in truth. Strengthen that which remains. And I tell you, beloved brethren, let us strengthen those who remain, who are willing to hold fast not only to the practice of the church, but the discipline of the house of God. We need to be strengthened those. Listen, brethren, if we're not going to stand up for what's right, if we're not going to stand for what's morally right in the world, who are we going to expect to do that? If we're not going to stand for these principles of right and rectitude in the world, we must. Brethren, he tells us, know ye not that adulterers and fornicators and effeminate and unclean and all people that love and make a lie and do these things have no part in the kingdom of God? Even though he says such were some of you in your past life, you probably lived. Some of you lived that way. Some of you committed those. But you're washed now, brethren. You're clean. God has brought you out of that. He's washed you away from that. He sanctified you. He has purged you of those things. And you should live above them. And let it not be, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, let not fornication be once named among you as becometh saints. And so, brethren, as things like this, we must strengthen that which remains. The order of God's house. We must think about this. We must consider. And may I warn all that's in the congregation, may I warn all of us individually, brethren, if you are engaging things contrary to the will of God, contrary to the Word of God, I beg of you, turn from that and walk in the ways of God. And I beg of you, of the church, if those among you who will not turn and walk the ways of Christ and the ways of the apostles, then I say, brethren, withdraw thyself from every brother who walks disorderly. These are things that the Bible has ever stood for. And he says for us, for if the light that is in you become darkness, how great is the darkness. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. When the house of God, you know, when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he said it's commonly reported that fornication be among you. Not so much as is named among the Gentiles. A man would have his own father's wife. In other words, no doubt from history, this man had lost his wife by death and married another woman, and now his son had taken up and was living with his father's wife and living in the church. And they wasn't doing a thing in the world about it. He said, you not even mourned about it. You hadn't even said, well, I don't know what's right. I know it's wrong. They wasn't even mourning about it. He said, didn't you know a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? Didn't you know such conduct of life will bring about a leavening of the whole lump? Didn't you know such conduct of life will take away all the vestige of life and light? How, brethren, can we maintain the order of God's house and not be sticklers for moral conduct in the kingdom of Christ? Strengthen that which remains. Brethren, this is the salvation. I believe, you say, well, I don't know what's all that important, Brother Dodd. Let me tell you this. If there'd been even as many as 10 righteous in the days of Abraham, God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah. And I tell you, beloved brethren, he says there's a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white. And so I tell you this, that thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now, brethren, there's a few names, even in Sardis, even though this church had a name that it lived and was dead, and yet there was a few there that had not defiled their garments. I don't believe that the church is able to discipline all that comes in it. I think a lot of times a lot of things gets by the church. But I believe there's always a few names that's in there that really love what's right, and we want to strengthen that which remains. Now, brethren, I may have fallen. I may not have met all the standards, but I tell you one thing. I want to be out here behind the barn criticizing the man that is trying to stand for what's right. I want you to know, I want him to know he's got my full support. I may not feel I've met the standard, but I tell you, the man that has met it and will stand up for it in loving and fear. I don't mean a self-righteous Pharisee. Now, I've seen folks that felt like they'd lived up to all the standards and they'd met all the marks. And like it was said of one man, I don't know whether this was so or not, but I've seen some just like that. One man says, there's nobody fit to belong to this church but my wife. And I, the truth is known, she ought to be turned out. So I'm not talking about that kind of a Pharisee. I'm not talking about somebody that feels themselves ought to be more righteous than everybody else. But you know, the good and godly people in the church many times are those that many times say in themselves, well, I don't feel to be worthy in myself. But when you look at a dear old sister, Carrie Thompson, I heard her say one time, she said that, you know, somebody was talking about me. She said, you know, if anybody said anything about me, I just feel like if they knew the truth, they'd really have something to talk about. And yet, I knew her. I used to wait on in the store when I was a young lad of a boy. She'd come in there, even steal the cotton, some of it still in her hair, and I would cut it, work in the cotton mill. But, brother, I never had her to grumble or complain. And she brought in a little whole week's church check with maybe $5 and something for a whole week's work. Never complained. And brother, and I've seen people like that and then go on down through the years and watch their life. And later I become to love the church. And I'd go by home and pick her up, you know, and see that she had a way to church many times, she and others. But I feel like, brethren, that's some of the very pure gold and the silver that's held us together through the years. These dear old faithful brothers and sisters, and you may feel like that, well, they're not worth a lot. But brother, they're the salt. Really the salt. And I feel like the Lord has kept old Cool Springs Church here through the years because something was strengthened, remaining faithful to the Lord. The dear ones is held faithful to these things. And I do, brethren, I feel that we need to look at this and consider this and to watch, because he said, I'm going to come upon you as a thief in the night. I'll come when you think not, in an hour. I'll bring my judgments upon you. You know, sometimes if a church is not really sincere, really trying to strengthen that which remains and honor what's right and love what's right, and they go along in a boastful way and feel like, well, we got the biggest congregation, we got the biggest preaching, we having the biggest meetings, and we got all of this, you better watch out. He can come in an hour that you think not, like a thief, my friend. And first thing, he's come in and there's a judgment right at your hands, at your door. You never realize. So we need to be in a penitent spirit. But remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, brethren, there's more than one book of life in the Bible. There's definitely more than one book of life. But I believe there's a book of the living that's mentioned in the book of, we find in the 4th chapter of Isaiah, when he says, when I writeth up the people, you know, this man was written there, and so forth. And there's different places in the Bible that we find those who are written in the book of life. And I do believe this, those that are faithful to Christ, manifesting their sonship to Christ, living faithful before Him, when you continue on and do not defile your garments, walk on in white, holding to the truth, holding to the order of God's house, then He says, and they overcome, overcoming the world, overcoming the flesh, overcoming the temptation to this world, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. I believe that you can have your name in this sense of the word, not the lamb's book of life that was written from the foundation of the world. You have no way to blot that out. That was written in heaven, my friend, and the names of all the heirs are written in heaven. But in the sense of your discipleship and the life in Christ as church here in the world, you can live after the world, live after the flesh, walk after these things, and go after these things, and your name will be blotted out in this sense that you are no longer numbered among those. And I've seen this happen. I've seen brethren and sisters that once stood well, that had their name. There was no doubt that they were children of God. There was no doubt they were lovers of Christ. There was no doubt in our minds that they were true in every sense of the word. And yet they would turn and go after all of these things of the world. And then the church would lose fellowship for them. And sadly so, maybe exclude them from the church. And after a while you find them completely going out here, away from God and away from the church, as though they never had any concern for it whatsoever. Brethren, I want the Lord to remember me in His mercy. And I know the only way for Him to confess me before His Father and before the holy angels. I'm not talking about in heaven. I need Him now while I'm living. That I can find that fellowship right now while I live. That I can feel the presence of my God while I walk here in the world and be strengthened in my heart. That I need that now while I walk. But if we turn from Him and His ways and His doctrine and His practices, and I say this, part of what I'm saying tonight, strengthen that which remain. Brother, we need to strengthen in love. In love. Love hides a multitude of sins. Now, we're not to overlook things that we know are basically wrong, but all of us make mistakes, and all of us fall short. If we went around here with a magnifying glass and began to look at everybody and every little detail of your life and said, I'm trying to find, if there's anything wrong with you, I'm trying to find it, you better get that magnifying glass on you and take it off of your brother, because that's where you need to be looking for the, because that's where the faults lie many times, is in yourself. And you get yourself straightened out, you won't see so much wrong with your brother. But when there is things that are majorly wrong, let's try to exhort one another in love and truth. Strengthen that which remains. And there's no way to strengthen that if not through just a legalistic system, but through a loving system. Loving one. Try to exhort brethren to do right because it is right. Let us love him because it is right. Let us love one another because this is the best way. It's not just a legal way. It's the best way to walk in God's way. Strengthen that which remains, that we may have strength yet remaining. That this old church, when you and I are laid out here in the sod of the valley, my friend, that there'll be somebody, your children, grandchildren, I hope mine. I got a little grandson that, Tommy's little son, that he's heard me say, God bless you so much. I reckon, you know, in shaking hands, he just loves to shake hands, you know. The other day he said, it's a plain God bless you. And I said, God bless you. Brethren, we want to see our children and our grandchildren and our neighbor's children come here to the place we've found so much joy through the years. We owe it to them. We owe it to them as well as to ourselves. Strengthen that which remains. Hold fast under these great principles. May God bless you, and I thank you.